And then Knicks won game five, and then they beat them in game six.
The thing is that OKC's been bad on the road in the playoffs.
That's right.
They've been great at home.
Yep.
And OKC's been really bad in game threes in
yes.
the playoffs.
Yes.
And so, and like.
No, even, and listen, if OKC wins game four, they're winning the series.
I feel the same
no
way.
No question.
Because if they get game four, they're going to get. They got to win two games.
Right.
They've got two of them at home.
That's right.
And they've got had time to make adjustments.
Yes.
I just, yeah, I think it all comes down to the next game.
The issue is that Indiana, as Wendy points out, has not lost back-to-back games since March. And so to put
wow.
for them to lose,
wow.
as you guys just said, OKC is going to have to do that. OKC is going to have to beat them back-to-back times
yeah.
yep.
to win the series.
Yeah. What about, so, how many times have the Thunder lost back-to-back? Once since January 9th.
There you go.
I so it's like the,
I don't
you know,
think,
immovable.
They've lost home court,
they've
though,
lost
here.
Home court, right.
So Indiana's in the more favorable spot, obviously. We're there, but
I still don't
odds
think.
Still believe, I'm, the odds are with you, Drew. I think in my heart I'm with you that OKC's still going to win this, but.
I think game one, I'm not coming off of my opinion that game one was fluky.
Mm-hmm.
It just, the Thunder don't blow 15-point leads.
Right.
It just doesn't happen. And game two wasn't competitive. Game three, the Pacers came out. They played great. They deserved to win, and they won. They did it shooting 33% from three.
Like, yeah.
That tells you that that one was not a fluke at all.
Absolutely.
But I still feel like the Thunder were the better team in two out of the three games.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's, you know, it feels weird, Jason. Like we keep saying, oh, yeah, all right, the Thunder are going to win. They're going to win the series. And it's like the games feel much shakier
yeah,
than
Indiana's
that.
Own the fourth
yeah,
quarters, too.
Like, that's
again,
the part
if
of it.
The Thunder are worn down in a way that we're just sort of
that's
in
right.
denial about.
That's right.
And maybe there's something here that, you know.
You got, look, if you're going to beat Indiana, you got to blow them out. You got to be up. You got to be up 15 going into the fourth. Like, that's what it feels like.
I got a text last night.
They're clutch,
that,
Indiana.
They
that
are.
OKC has three players that are more hurt than people recognize right now.
Interesting.
So. I think they're OKC's a little banged up.
And I'll say, I don't like Hartenstein not playing. I don't like it. I think he should be on the floor. Like, last night they went small. They had Chet to five. I think Hartenstein needs to be on the floor. Even, I know he's an offensive liability zero, whatever you want to say, but that dude brings toughness. He brings size. Like, he can switch. He's not a complete liability there. Like, I just think you mess up the juju a little bit when you take him out of the starting lineup after something that has been working for you the entire season, and you decide in the finals – oh, this guy is a problem. He's our weak link, you know? I think that has kind of messed up some things, honestly, internally with them. I know nobody said that or even hinted at it, but I just think how can you want to trifle with the synergy when you've been dominating? You've been dominating every team in the playoffs other than Denver, right? Other than Denver, who has the best player in the world. I don't know, man. I don't like that. I was watching it last night. I'm like, you know, Hartenstein can get you some tough boards, man. Like, he's big. And he can match a little bit. Like, okay, I'm begging Dort to go get me a rebound at 6'4", you know?
He's a weapon, though.
He is, but, I mean, it's just like, why not use my 7-footer who I gave a $60 million contract or whatever it is, you know? I don't know. But that's why we're here and Mark Dagnall's there, and we'll see. We'll see what the adjustments are. He is Drew Hill coming
Thank
to
you,
Grizzlies
Drew.
For the Daily Memphian. Appreciate your time as always, my friend. We'll come back with the rundown. Stick around. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN.
Get off into your summer the right way. That's with Leaders Credit Union. How do you envision the perfect summer? Your home's equity could help you fund the summer of your dreams. You can access up to $200,000. Maybe you want some of that for a kitchen upgrade you've been planning but hadn't been able to get done. You hadn't had the proper cash on hand. Dream vacation, maybe. Backyard pool you've always wanted. You be careful with those pools. You know what they say about pools. Sometimes you might regret it. I'll tell you what, that vacation sounds good. And those upgrades to your bathroom, to your kitchen, now that's going to help you. That's going to help you in terms of your property value. There's no question about it. And right now, Leaders can do HELOCs at rates as low as 5.99, those home equity lines of credit, 5.99 APR. So you can do really well getting over to Leaders. You can learn more by visiting leaderscu.com/ESPN. They've got a bunch of things that can help you on your financial journey, including their technology. It's better than your banks. That's my guess because, of course, when Leaders makes money as part of the credit union setup, that's the technology goes back into the money, goes back into the building itself, into the technology, into making rates better for you. That's the great thing about owning the place, which you will. as a part of Leaders. It's federally insured by the NCUA, and Leaders is your financial champion.
After the last time we do the rundown, let's go. Who is going to coach the Knicks? Does anybody know? Brad, have you been contacted by the New York
Knicks?
I got
a call. I turned them down.
Well, Odyssey turned it down. Odyssey did not allow you to interview.
Oh, no. They want, you know, my contract's up, so they can, I can do, you know.
Nope. We have denied you. Nope. You are not allowed to interview with the New York Knicks. Contracts be damned. All right. Now, if you're working without a contract, we need to get that fixed.
No, I'm good.
All right.
Cool. You've been talking a lot about your business lately.
You really have. You've been kind of showing your cards here a little bit, Brad.
What are my cards?
You're negotiating publicly?
No.
You know?
No.
It kind of feels like that, doesn't it, Jason?
In fact, never do that.
Brad, you
just taking a page out of Jeff's book.
That's right.
No, we don't do that here on the Brad Carson program.
He's been pulling back his curtain over there a little bit, his professional curtain.
That is cap.
We're starting to get a little bit of a window.
Yeah, that is positioning. That is false.
But we'll keep you guys posted on Brad's employment here.
Let you know.
Or Brad will keep you posted.
Master repositioner over here, folks.
Likely on the show in the middle of a segment about the Knicks. You never know.
We know that John keeps his cards really close. You'll never know how he's feeling.
That's right. Brad will not be the coach of the New York Knicks, nor will Quinn Snyder, nor will Jason Kidd, nor will Billy Donovan, nor will anybody.
Jay Wright.
Rick Pitino. I feel like there was a couple other NBA coaches that they try to reach out to and were denied to interview with. But we were actually talking about this yesterday before the show. We're like, as we were coming up with our over-under, we're gonna go 2.5 with the Knicks in terms of more turning down of interviews. We're like, there's no way they'll keep doing this, right? And they did it not once but twice. They were turned down by Atlanta, and they were turned down by Chicago.
Chicago was later. Yeah. After we talked about
so it. Embarrassing all the way around, no question about it.
Yeah.
For the Knicks, which you know, I mean, I'm not sure why they believed that they could fire Thibodeau and then they would be able to just go poach a sitting head coach, you know, with no resistance whatsoever. I'm not sure what the thinking was there entirely, but you know, listen, now you are hearing Taylor Jenkins' name come up, which made sense to me from the outset, just in terms of okay, winning as coach and at an NBA franchise. Like, I don't know if he's a fit in the market, but just in terms of resume, not terrible. Mike Brown has been a lot of different spots, you know, veteran NBA coach. Those made more sense to me than Johnny Bryant, but, you know, that's where we are in the search. I mean, we're down to fifth, sixth, seventh option right now for the New York Knicks, and for a proud franchise that was in the Eastern Conference Finals this year, got to be pretty embarrassing.
Yeah, and I can't imagine that a fire Taylor Jenkins would have been your first choice. You're just talking about with Drew. This looks like you have missed on guys, or at least your initial hopes that you could get one of these sitting head coaches. If that wasn't a serious hopes, then why even do it in the first place?
Absolutely.
You don't fire Tibbs, it didn't feel like, to go after fired coaches who haven't won big in the playoffs. That's Taylor Jenkins. It's Mike Brown. It's not Michael Malone. Who fired, yes, but is one big. That one sort of, that fit in a way we thought, okay, well, if that front office is, you know, okay with being pushed a little bit. And with Tibbs, you know, one thing, I mean, they said Leon Rose and Tibbs were cool. They were. I mean, I'm not going to say buddies. You obviously decide to fire him. The players don't like him. But there was obviously, you allow Tibbs to do the job if you're Leon Rose. That's a front office that's comfortable with letting their coach. And to me, that's what you do with Michael Malone. If you were comfortable with Tibbs, and if you're looking somebody to, you know, a partner that you're going to, kind of like they used to call it with the Grizzlies here, they called each other partners, Kleiman and Jenkins. I don't think that's what the Knicks need to get you over the top there. They need a guy, again, that's done it before. And so I go back to it. That to me is Michael Malone. It's not one of these, you know, Taylor Jenkins who's only won the one playoff series. And, yeah, man, to have it go this, you know, this way optically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your fans are already biting their nails, feeling like they should have broken through this year. When you fire Tibbs, it's an indication, you know, and say, John, I mean, you read the quote, our only focus is a championship. You get them sort of hyped for, okay, which championship coach are they about to bring in?
Yep.
Is my organization about to bring in? Because if you're a Knicks fan, you love what Leon Rose and these folks have done in terms of turning this thing back into what it was, similar to the 90s, man, where there was that pride again. Two, again, 50-plus win seasons in a row. So you get hype. You think it's going to be championship guy like Mike, and then we're not getting permission from 5-6 clubs. College coaches, previous college coaches, current college coaches saying they don't want the gig. And now you're telling me we're having to look at a fired Taylor Jenkins that the Grizzlies didn't want, so much so they fired him with 9 games left in the regular season, or Mike Brown? I mean, that's – forget your fan base. I mean, how do your players get up for that? And clearly they were at the heart – you know, they were part of this. Some of this is going to go on them because you're not moving on from Tibbs with what he'd done, the last couple of years if this wasn't a player saying we're tired of it, which we get.
Yep.
But – you know, watch what you ask for here. Your front office doesn't look like they're able to go. They don't look like they're able to go out right now and get something better. Taylor Jenkins is not better than Tibbs. Sorry. Just hadn't accomplished as much.
I agree.
Especially postseason-wise.
But, you know, David Adelman's not better than Mike Malone, and it's just a matter of those, like you said, those players just get get stale.
Yeah.
The message gets stale.
Again, but that you know, the message there led to a championship at one point, though.
That's true.
Which is why the Knicks should be fine.
Right.
With going to whatever limits, however much Mike Malone is pushing, that's what they need, quite frankly.
Yeah.
Now maybe they're signaling to us, John, though, in this movement against Tibbs that they can't handle that.
Absolutely.
Maybe that's what they're telling us.
That's right.
And that's why Mike Malone, and you know, is he not the favorite? I guess at this point it's Taylor Jenkins and Mike Brown.
I don't even know.
And it doesn't seem like Malone's been talked about in quite a while. It's almost like they've almost said to themselves they're not interested.
Yeah. It
because of his deal with the front office in Denver.
I don't even know at this point. I guess I could check the markets real quick. I'm sure there's something out there. But I don't even know. Like, yeah, I mean, the latest was that it was going to be Brown and Jenkins.
To hear Wendy flower up Taylor Jenkins this morning, I'm like, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't even see a market on this anywhere.
How many favors he done for old Wendy there, you know, where you – I mean, he's good. He's good in the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
How can you even bring him up as a serious candidate? You know, for a job like the Knicks, where it's literally take the next step to get to a finals and win the championship. How are we serious about Taylor Jenkins? But that's how the Knicks have botched this thing,
right?
To me,
right? Yeah,
that's
no,
that's how poorly they've handled this. That you got Wendy trying to sell Taylor Jenkins as a serious candidate for this gig.
Yeah,
and which he may very well end up getting.
Yeah, he might
botched.
It might fall to him. I don't. Yeah, I don't see
botched
out there where it would be.
And Rosen worldwide, they've done a good job, man. Did you hear Coward say it was? He's tied it in with the whole. What's the thing that Dolan built in Vegas? You've been to it.
The Sphere.
While Dolan was building that, Coward's theory is that you know he let Leon and Worldwide work.
Yep.
Whereas typically he'd been, you know. Too involved,
mm-hmm.
which is, and fumbled the you know the bag and everything else, just blowing it for the Knicks since ever since you know trying to live up to Daddy whatever else, blowing it, and when he finally just went to what he should be doing because he's an artist, he wants to do something that leaves an impression on the world.
Yeah,
he's thinking the Sphere is going to be that. When he finally went and did that, you know the basketball, he let basketball folks do the job and actually built something. They hired some good people and they made some good roster moves. But now he's back in. Could be spell doom for them.
You don't want to go.
It's not a bad theory.
You don't want to go to the Sphere. You're not like compelled to go see it.
Not at all. So wow. So if that was Dolan's hope, it just really does show he's truly misguided. Whether it's with when he's operating his own team or thinking that that's something that's moving, that's going to move the world, change the world. The Sphere, just because you how many spent on that? How much he spent on $500 million?
Yeah,
billion dollars.
Crazy amounts of money.
You've seen it. It sounds like it did change your life, but I'm not.
It changed my life, man. I came back a different man.
I'm trying to get to
$3 billion.
That's his money?
I assume.
Or he gets some help.
I'm sure he got some other help somewhere.
You raise some dollars to, you know, like, whatever y'all call that.
Yeah. Like, I'm sure he got
partners. He has partners. Financial partners in that thing.
Yeah, he can't. It can't just be his all his money.
Brett, can you wait to? Can you not? I can't. You can't wait to get to it to go to the Sphere.
I haven't been, and I can't wait to go. I'm very excited about.
Okay,
the,
well
that
then
thing.
Then you are then okay then he
the
wants
Wizard
to,
of Oz is playing.
Let me know when
wow.
you plan a trip out there.
The what Wizard, did you see in it, John?
I saw this extremely woke climate movie,
and was scared he was going to fall.
It's extremely.
Remember, he
steep.
Told us the
it's
story.
Extremely
yeah.
steep.
He told us the story.
It's like the pyramid, bro. Right.
To be honest, when you came back, you didn't sound all that impressed for however many billion it
the
cost.
The experience is you should go. You should definitely go. Like the idea that they're going to have movies that are retrofitted now for this. Like The Wizard of Oz is starting there in August, and they have the little red heels sticking out of the sphere. They've built the little red heels sticking out of the sphere at the bottom of the thing.
Oh, this guy's giggling like it's the greatest thing ever.
Dude, white people love The Wizard of Oz.
They do.
I mean, it's just like, you know, you're indoctrinated.
Yeah.
You know, Wicked. I mean, you kidding me?
I want to see the bears in Allegiant. And y'all talking about the sphere.
But like,
and seeing little ruby red slippers.
The potential would be.
I'm a grown man.
Now, what if it was coming to America at the sphere? Would you like
grown
that?
Grown ass
that.
Man.
I heard that.
Would you like Blade at the sphere?
Did it fall on the little ruby red slipper so it looks like the house when it came down, like the Wizard of Oz?
Honestly,
is that how they built
it? Yes, that is how
that's
they built
how Dolan envisioned it as an artist.
Imagine seeing Candyman at the sphere.
So sweet.
Now, wouldn't you love that?
Candyman.
What's our guy's name?
Tony Todd.
Wouldn't you love to see Tony Todd?
You have with Tony Todd, who we just lost recently.
Love Candyman.
God rest his soul.
But the possibilities
last movie
are
was
endless.
Final Destination.
That was.
He's in it.
Now he's gone to his final destination.
We've lost him.
You know, you make me want to shout. But no, it's you got to go experience it just for the vibes.
Sorry, Lord.
But Jason will not be there. And
did
I think
you just dance on Candyman's grave?
That's a scene
pretty
for the
much.
Final destination.
Okay,
that's all right. That's all that is. They're all in right. the.
No, I saw it.
Sky.
No, you're right. Yeah. You're right.
That's all. Rest in peace, Tony Todd.
So
man.
You saw the movie, or you just seen a
I
little
saw
clip
that,
trailer?
I saw the clip. Yeah, okay. Yeah. You've watched the whole thing?
Yes.
Oh, you didn't reveal that.
It was. I told you I saw it on the Superbox.
Can you imagine seeing that at the sphere?
That whole thing was a stratosphere-type building.
That's right.
What you're talking about in that movie.
Although that's suspended in the air, right? That was like a sky tower. The sphere's on the ground.
Well, no. You're not hearing me. The stratosphere, not the sphere.
Oh, the
stratosphere
yes.
Hotel, a place
gotcha.
That I've actually stayed. You've probably seen it. It looks like a needle
point
in Las Vegas.
And they have like rides
that
and stuff.
That thing
yes.
is what essentially is in Final Destination
yes,
to
got
start.
It. Got it.
That with
got
the
it.
With the moving the yes. circular yes. restaurant up top.
Yeah.
It's basically the same thing.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about the sphere. I'm
no,
about
no,
the stratosphere.
Stratosphere.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
which was
okay.
long made long before this and did not change the world.
Yeah.
I'm sure whoever designed that thought they were going to do that too.
Yeah. The sphere, I think, is, you know,
it's changing. It
you'll go to you'll
slowly.
Go to Summer League. You'll see the Summer League decorations. It'll have a bat.
Yeah.
It'll be a basketball.
We've seen it.
Yeah,
it's a basketball.
It.
Yeah.
It hasn't been hacked yet. I thought it would be hacked and somebody put like a dong in
remember
it.
Remember, John? That was his whole thing?
It hasn't been hacked yet. or a booty, you know?
Dolan's firewall must have been good. It's kept you out so far.
It is. It's more.
You clearly had plans, devious plans. To
I
go
did
in there.
Not, but I just thought there'd be a bad actor along the way somewhere. But it's more fortified than their front line and on the Knicks defense.
My thing is, if it looks like James Dolan's back in there and working again the way they botched this search.
Yes, absolutely. So we'll see where it lands, but it looks like it's going to fall. It's going to fall to somebody. Somebody's going to benefit because they keep getting turned down in New York.
Deals for Kevin Durant. I've got five of them. You want to hear them?
Yes.
Yay.
And which? Where's the Grizzlies one ranked?
I'll let you know. Listen closely. Mm-hmm. Listen for Grizzlies, and we can see what they have. The ESPN folks have cooked up for the Grizzlies to send over to Phoenix for Kevin Durant. But here's what we got: Houston Rockets, Suns get Dylan Brooks, Reed Shepard, Cam Whitmore. Jock Landale, number 10 pick in 2025, first round pick in 2027. Rockets get KD. Got it?
Okay.
It's a lot of young players, and then you get Dylan Brooks, number 10 pick this year, and then a first rounder in 2027. Don't know how good that'll be, but there's the haul there. For Miami, Suns get Jovic, Andrew Wiggins. 2025 first round pick via Golden State, 2030 first round pick via Miami, 2020 so 2026 second round pick via Lakers. Nets get this is a looks like a three-way. Duncan Robinson, Keyshawn Johnson, a bunch of picks. It doesn't make a lot of sense for Phoenix on that one. Back to Minnesota. Listen closely to this one. Suns get Rudy Gobert, Dante DiVincenzo, and Rob Dillingham. Wolves get Kevin Durant. That's one that we're going to revisit here in a minute. Knicks, Suns get OG Anunoby, Mitchell Robinson. Knicks get Kevin Durant. Then Spurs. I'm sorry, Grizzlies are not one of the five. Spurs, the Suns get Devin Vassell, Harrison Barnes, 2025 first-round pick via Atlanta. Spurs get Kevin Durant. They're saying, and there is a wild card, actually. It's the Dallas Mavericks. Klay Thompson, P.J. Washington, Najee Marshall, Derek Lively, the second 2028 first-round pick, all go to the Suns.
That's a lot.
It is.
That's a lot.
Mavs get KD. The one they think is the best out of those, and it includes all the teams that all the pros like Wendy think, you know, that Durant's going to be moved to, one of those in terms of the favorites. They say it's the Wolves deal. That Phoenix would like that deal the most. It gives, and I'm not buying this, but it gives Ott, I guess that's our new coach in Phoenix, right? It gives him a defensive anchor in the middle and Rudy Gobert, who, regular season. Dante DiVincenzo, you know, dependable scorer, sure, whether it's off the bench or as a starter, I guess. Not somebody that you're going to get to the next level with, but I guess that's not what you're looking to do necessarily with the Suns. You're looking to build a strong foundation. And having guys like Dante DiVincenzo, I don't know, because this doesn't make Booker a contender. This looks like a rebuild. Rob Dillingham would be a part of that. You know, he's a young guard who yes, would be there to prop up Devin Booker. But I don't know. I don't know that's enough for the Suns. They think that between all those picks from all those other teams, whether it was Houston, San Antonio, just read off some of them, this is the deal you're going to take. Three players is the future, the way to go. You'd have to give me some picks. So I don't know that this should be the favorite in terms of what they've put together for a possible Minnesota offer to the Suns. Here's the deal, though, and Wendy said it kind of with some finalities more. Everybody he says in the league seems to believe that the reason we're all talking KD right now so much and all the and not talking Giannis is because it's a done deal that Giannis is not going anywhere.
Yeah.
That Milwaukee is fine with not moving on from him right now, and Giannis is fine with not asking for a trade. That the league, in terms of the executives and stuff, they've moved on. And that KD now becomes the number one target.
Yep.
And that's why we're here discussing his and not, as we said, the first domino when we started and set this whole offseason up with Giannis. It's because the league's moved on and KD's now the big fish. So we'll be doing this until we know. And, you figure around draft time, especially if it's going to involve some of these picks for Phoenix that are 2025 picks, they're going to be the ones making those picks. So this should heat up as we get closer to draft end of month,
I mean,
in terms of the talks for KD.
You're talking about Giannis. Did you see his tweet?
No.
He said, "Does anyone else miss Woj?"
Ooh.
And that was a direct response to Shams, who was on with McAfee. You know, he kind of has led the reporting on Giannis.
Nice.
It does seem like he's staying pat. I'm sad that the Grizzlies aren't in that mix, as you know, but feels like they tried in 2022, and didn't they try again?
I'm just surprised that Giannis is cool with staying.
I think it's a bad move because it
seems like the time for him.
Everybody can see that thing is topped out.
Right.
I mean, what are they going to be able to do? But that dude is loyal to a.
But he's loyal.
Loyal to the soil.
I got that Seth Hennigan type loyalty.
For real. And look, he's got a home there. He's got, he won a title there. I get it. MVPs.
Had your kids there. Yeah.
But man, don't you want to do it again? Don't you want to win a title again?
I thought he seems like a competitor like that, the way he plays.
And you're not going to do it there. You're just not going to do it there.
But maybe it's about being a competitor and staying with the place that you had the belief in you first.
Is there any,
And that level of competitiveness, I'm going to do it here.
That's right.
With this franchise. That's how competitive I am. I'm not leaving to go join somebody.
Is there a comparison
maybe there's a
in
different
terms of
level
a guy like that, who stayed with the franchise, who won one title, right, but stayed even through the rest of,
Dirk.
Yeah, Dirk did.
But his title
came
later.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It was it took
his
a little longer.
Later.
But,
yes.
But it's like Giannis
but he's
just
the
came.
One.
Giannis
Dirk
came
is the last old, last of the Mohicans, isn't he? On the whole, stayed the whole time one place?
Yeah, you're right. Dirk is probably the closest. But, he only played for, four more years after that title, it feels
like? Oh, yeah. He was
yeah.
Toward the end of his career. Giannis going to play longer.
Yes. We don't have a lot of examples because guys are just always on the move, you know? Yeah,
thanks, LeBron.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you got to go way back, it feels like.
Udonis.
But Big Three was doing – the Celtics Big Three did it before LeBron, so we can't really just blame him.
Tim Duncan.
The Celtics Big Three
team. Tim Duncan won a billion championships.
Just get one.
Just one and you stay.
One and you stay.
That's why I had Dirk. Dirk was my only – Dirk's my guy.
I think you'll be hard-pressed to find another.
Multiple is hard.
Stayed one?
And just won one and didn't want to leave, you know?
No, you got to go way back. Like way back. 80s, 70s for that stuff.
Like I mean, you brought that up Udonis, stopped. But Udonis wasn't – he wasn't, like, on this level. You know, he was a good NBA player, but he wasn't on the Giannis level. You know, you're talking about kind of stars that stayed, you know what I mean, and just won the one. David Robinson only won one? Did he get multiple?
Did he get one?
Did he on the tail end with Tim?
Yeah, he got two.
Okay.
But he was there for 2003 as well.
Wow.
So
man, he was there a long time.
But yeah, I mean, you're going. I mean,
it was the end for him.
It was definitely the end.
When they started winning.
It was definitely the end. I mean, even the Rockets in 94, they got two. They went back to back. So you're just not going to find many guys that stayed. Like the Pistons, right? They didn't have any superstars. You know, Chauncey and Rip and Ben Wallace, like, they were better than some of their parts. You know, they weren't like Giannis's level. Giannis is like a top five guy in the NBA. And he's like, I'm happy to be here with Doc Rivers. And like, I feel like every other superstar that's been in his exact position the last 20 years has won it out, has left. You know, KD, you know, Kawhi, you know, I mean, those types of guys have all left. And he's like, you know, I'm going to stay. Durant, you know.
Reggie
did deserve one. He would have been a great call.
It looks like this Pacers thing means a ton to him. Getting one, you see him there with his kids last night?
Yep.
Yeah.
It looks like he really wants it for them.
You know,
it's legit. It's not just about him showing up and
people
giving him all, you know, be giving him a hug. He looks like he really wants it for those guys, for the Pacers,
absolutely,
for the organization. He really
does.
Looked legit.
Yeah, and I loved it. I mean, I'm all about it. His ship's over. He's done. TNT doesn't have the NBA anymore. Go be a fan, man.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Go be a fan. Jokic is going to be probably the next guy that stays with the franchise and only wins one. He would probably not win another one. It would be my guess. He could, but it just doesn't feel like it's in the cards.
No, Denver will have wasted him then because he gave you a bunch of good years as the best player in the world. It wasn't just like a 1-year fluke.
Right.
So you needed to have gotten more out of it.
But I highly doubt he would ask for a trade.
No, I'm with you on him staying.
Yeah. So he'll be the next guy.
That's a good call.
They're all European. They're all overseas.
He has a kind of I don't care attitude anyway.
Exactly.
Those are few and far between.
Exactly. He's like, listen, I'll do my thing in the regular season. I'll go back home
to
Serbia.
Back to the farm in Serbia.
And I'll see you in October.
Be fine.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll see KD where he ends up. Could shift the balance of power a little bit.
Yeah, hopefully by draft time we'll have a better feel because, again, a lot of these picks that these teams are offering are this year, so Phoenix going to want to control those.
Yep, absolutely. All right, I don't think this is good news for Memphis basketball. We got a little bit of an update today from Zakai Ziegler, the Tennessee point guard, who obviously was seeking a preliminary injunction against the NCAA as the defendant. And today, Ziegler was denied that additional year of eligibility. He was challenging the NCAA's eligibility rule, which right now grants you 4 seasons of competition to play in 5. So 5 to play 4. And why is this relevant to Memphis? Because Dane Danger is going to probably be in the same exact boat here soon. I assume his waiver will get denied because it feels like all these waivers are getting denied for the most part. There have been a couple that have snuck through, but my default setting every time with Memphis is just assume the waiver gets denied. And then, as we've talked about, the path will be to go to court, like all these guys are doing. And even though Dane's circumstances were different than Zakai Ziegler's, he still had the 5 years to play 4. And he technically did. Even though he only played 3 games that 1 year, I don't think these courts are taking into consideration, oh, well, you know, you weren't good enough, therefore you get another year. Or whatever the reasoning he only played 3 games was. He transferred in the middle of the year to Illinois, right? I don't think the context is mattering to these courts. They're like, you got the five to play four. You know, you're not guaranteed to play every single year. But just because you don't play in a given year doesn't mean that I have to give you and award you that fifth year on the back end. Basically a sixth year because he was academically ineligible for that first year, which is why, you know, this is even a thing right now. So it just doesn't feel like, because I got people tweeting me like it's not the same. It's not, but it kind of is because they're arguing the same thing. Zakai is asking for, he's challenging the eligibility rule, and that's the same thing that Dane will challenge. He will just have more context than Zakai. Zakai played all 4 years, lots of games. Dane didn't. But I don't think the court's like, all right, well, if you don't play this amount of games, we have to give you the other year. We have to grant you the injunction. I don't think they're operating that way. Like, your career is your career. Your clock is the clock. It doesn't matter why you do or don't play. Unless you would submit a mental health waiver or something like that, you know, or, you know, which I don't think is what Dane is doing. So, or maybe he is. Maybe he is. That could be a wrinkle here. But short of that, Jason, it feels like this is kind of a message to Memphis and Penny Hardaway that if you're counting on Dane Danger to be on the team next year, you should probably not do that.
I think that's what Ross Dellinger's reporting would indicate to me. He said, did you, it's 16 of 19.
Yeah.
In terms of the NCAA winning these injunctions.
Yep.
Over eligibility in the last year, according to Dellinger. And the three that the NCAA has lost, Charlie Baker, the president of the NCAA, has addressed those three and says he thinks he's going to win those three too.
See? Everybody, they're
planning to go 19 for 19, bro.
Yep. And everybody thought they would lose those cases.
Mm-hmm. And so my point is that, and Dellinger says it, and Zakai is now in there, you know, these that they're challenging the eligibility rule, granting athletes four seasons of competition, 5 years. In the end, you're asking the NCAA to go against precedent, and they're not going to do that. And that's, the courts are backing off, and they did in the Sakai when they've done it in 16 of the 19 other cases. And like we said, Baker feels pretty good. It's going to be across the board. That's not good for the Dane case. It's just the numbers they suggest that even the courts don't have time for it. We're not going to change this. This goes. Now, this has long been their policy, and we're not going to get ourselves involved. Lord knows we've got enough on our plate as it is, especially as it relates to college athletics. So I think Dellinger's kind of telling us here how these things are going, for the most part, across the board.
Yep.
Especially when you think the three that are on appeal, you're going to get those back to the NCAA feeling real good that these aren't going to get it. So anyway, yeah, I mean, get focused on knowing Aaron Bradshaw. You know, and your the rest of your front court, because I would say it's awful news for Dane Danger.
Yeah, I would think so too.
Maybe news Memphis needs comes grip with if they haven't already. Maybe they have. Maybe that's in the way they've done the roster now. This is who you've got. So, but you know, Dane, yeah, get ready for the start the professional career.
Yes, exactly, and Zakai Ziegler as well. JOB, brother, I get it.
Yeah,
that gravy train.
I don't blame them at all for trying to get it.
Challenge. I'm sure these attorneys are probably doing it pro bono just for the exposure anyway. Like, and if they do win it, they'll get, you know, some of his NIL. So it's probably a zero risk proposition for these guys.
Right.
So hopefully.
Like, yeah, and many of these guys, especially the ones we're talking about, not going to make the NBA. These paydays bigger than anything they're going to get at one
this
time,
is
especially
it.
Over.
This
could
is
be
it.
Their whole overseas career if they're lucky.
Totally.
What they can get right now
in
totally. The NCAA, these. You know, this money opportunity has been opened up for most of these guys. I don't
That's
blame
right.
them for trying.
That's right.
But it's time to move on.
Well, you got
to
think, too, like,
too,
a lot of these places, bro, like, I'm not even trying to inject it into this, but, like, in the near term, a lot of these places, like, you go to the Middle East to play basketball. That's, you know, you go to Europe, you go to the Middle East. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't know if you guys have, like, paid attention to the news. Like, those are, like, crazy places right now. Like, yeah. I mean, we just evacuated the embassy in Iran last
dangerous places.
So it's like,
yes.
You don't, not only will you maybe not make the kind of money that you're making over your entire career in 1 year here, mm-hmm. you're also subjecting yourself to being in the midst of real, you know,
strife,
tension,
yeah, right.
Politically, geopolitically. So, you know, there's no wonder why guys are fighting to get one more year in Knoxville, one more year in Memphis, one more year wherever.
My thing is, those guys got to remember that there were guys before them that didn't get in. Sure,
exactly.
You might have got a little under the table. They didn't get nearly the opportunity that they've gotten now. Like, Dane made some pretty good money last year. And you did. You got a chance to capitalize, and it'd be great if you come back and get some more at the table. But it's over. The gravy train's over right now for you guys that have had the five to play four.
Exactly.
So it is what it is. Again, I'm with you. I don't blame Zakai or Dane for trying to get it. But in the end, you're just paying some attorney's fees.
Yep. And so for Memphis, listen, we talked about it a little bit earlier. It's not over. I mean, maybe he gets the waiver based on.
I'd love to be shocked. I'd love to be wrong on this one.
But it just, we've talked about it. Like, we kind of just, our default setting was, all right, he's going to get the waiver denied, and then he's going to try to get the injunction. Well, nobody's getting the injunction. Nobody's getting the temporary restraining order. So, like, it's kind of, unfounded to believe that he would get that. Like, what's so special about his case, Like, what are the extenuating circumstances? So, at Baylor that second year, he wasn't playing, so he transferred. Like, I mean, if I give it to you, I got to give it to everybody in that case, right? Like, just because you don't play doesn't mean you get the extra year tacked on at the end. It's just the way, like, I can't do that. As a judge, I can't say, so you couldn't crack the rotation as a freshman, you left, and now I'm supposed to give you an extra year because, then I got to give everybody one. Because who plays as freshman anymore, right? Like, nobody plays as freshman. Now everybody's going to get 6 years. So let's just make it 6 years then. As opposed to five to play four, let's make it six to play five or six to play four, whatever, So I just think Dane's case is going to ultimately not hold much weight. You get into starting to, my this, that, and the other happened, my coach didn't like me, and, bro, you committed to play there. There's got to be some accountability somewhere. I'd love to see Dane on the roster for the Tigers next year. We went through the difference, right? The difference with Dane on the court for the Tigers next year is about a 14 spot jump at Bart Torvik. That's a big jump. It takes you from like really, really bubble team right now to you're in the field. And you're number one in the AAC again. But I gotta call balls and strikes here. And if Zakai Ziegler is just getting shot down like this, who you don't have to like it, is basically arguing the same thing you are, which is I deserve another year, you're cooked. You're cooked.
Dane was playing some unbelievable ball down the stretch.
He was.
Looking at these numbers.
He was awesome. He was awesome.
22-12, 23-11.
That's right.
The 22-12 was in the championship game of AAC tournament against UAB.
The third game against UAB, and the third game he dominated a guy that's making $4 million at Michigan this year.
Killed Yoxel.
So it's going to hurt. I mean, it's going to be a big
Can Penny hire him as a big band coach for – Bradshaw, can we pay him more than he would make overseas?
I doubt it. Although there is an opening after Verhulst left for Murray State.
Hey!
So.
That's right.
I think Brad's kind of applying, Brad was saying, he's got some, it's a contract sub, you could use that one. You could use the opening at Memphis. Life is leverage. Leverage is life. And, that's what I would do. Like you, Brad, Jordan had a lot of jobs. He was like film guy. He was assistant. He was scout. He was Debo. I mean, I think you'd be a good fit. I really do. Yes.
Freddie Coleman laughing, by the way. Pacers and six.
If you were one of those who was hoping that Dane would get this temporary restraining order, because that, I'll be honest, I was. I was in that camp of like, it feels like this is the most viable path. Just play on the TRO. Nobody's getting the TRO. I think Diego Pavia is the only one that's – like, he's one of the three right now, right?
Yeah, but they're not – Charlie Baker says, we not done.
We're coming back for
We're coming back for them three. We're going to come back around here.
Hey, everybody –
I mean, he's – the way he's speaking so resolutely about all of them.
Well, I mean, he's got a hell of a percentage right now. I get it.
Yeah, he does.
And I tend to believe him. If he thinks they'll come back and get it, then I tend
There's
to believe
There's no need to tell Dellinger that we're going to get those too. If you don't feel good – I mean, he must really feel good about it.
Yeah, I tend to believe it 100%. I would say not ideal news. Not that we expected Zakai Ziegler to get the year. I mean, I didn't – like, what would be the basis for that? He played 4 years, 30 games a year each. Like, there was no real case there. He was just doing it to see.
No.
Like, it's like using your challenge in an NBA game when you're down 15. Like, I can't take it home. Like, I might as well use it here, even though I won't change anything. Kind of what that felt like. Hopefully Dane, will have a different outcome. I'm not that hopeful, though, based on what we're seeing in the court so far.
One more. Real quick, Chris Canty was the other brother, John, that had Pacers.
Okay, yep.
29 of 32 ESPN experts slash personalities slash hosts picked OKC to win the series. Many, including my partner, including me, still believe OKC is going to win. We'll see what's up with Fade Brad. We do have to do that at some point, don't
tomorrow.
We? Tomorrow. It'll be tomorrow. Okay.
Then we'll, we got a quick
and
turnaround.
And then will we have?
Monday.
Will we have a game going in? Okay.
Monday.
Yeah.
So it's Friday, Monday.
All right.
So we'll come in and do Fade Brad on Monday.
We've messed
Fade
around
Brad lives!
About Freddie Coleman. Yeah, it's still got a couple more to go. Hey, we had Pacers in six. He was one of the three and is looking real good right now. We said it. Chris Canty had Pacers in seven. We just want to hold these guys up and give them their flowers now while they're
like
looking
it.
Pretty good. And then Jeremy Wu was the other ESPN guy that had Pacers. He had them in seven as well, though. The only man brave enough to call it in six for Pacers, as we said, was Freddie Coleman. But just the bravery of these three men alone. Again, 29. I'm talking Clint Yates all the way down to Ramona Shelburne, Mark Spears, Bobby Marks. They all had OKC. Courtney Cronin, who we love dearly, she was asked. She was in this as well. Joe Fortenball, had Thunder in five. And so, Tim Bontemps, Thunder in five. Not happening.
Not happening.
So a lot of folks are wrong already.
Yep.
We'll see.
Jeremy Wu tweet. I think the X is listening because I'm literally refreshing my feed.
Yeah.
And Jeremy Wu. Pacers in
seven.
10:17 came up first thing, and it's a gif of a Sith from Star Wars saying, "Everything is proceeding exactly as I have foreseen." Your boy Jeremy Wu,
very impressive. He's in Pacers in seven.
I think it's a little early to start
Pacers
celebrating.
Pacers in seven is going to require them to win
on the road
on OKC's home floor,
which will not happen.
No,
they have to win this in six,
right? So, actually, the guy that I made fun of the first day is the smartest dude in the room, Freddie Coleman.
He has the clearest path.
Because it has to be in six.
Yes. He has the clearest path. No question
about it. That's why I want to continue to hold him up, and that's why I sent John a picture of him last night.
Yeah.
It's really why I was looking at it myself saying, genius.
Yeah. I mean, seriously.
Freaking genius.
Now, listen, that's the beauty of it, right?
A man who was bold enough to go out there on that limb.
How many people had Thunder in seven?
A lot.
Okay, a lot did?
Well, not as many as Thunder and Six.
Okay.
No. I'm saying one, Andre Snellings. I don't know if you're familiar with his work at ESPN.
Never heard of him.
And then another seven? No, the only other seven was Pacers in seven.
So only one guy
only
with
one
Thunder
and seven?
Seven. Everybody He's looking good. I mean, if you're handicapping, all right, who of these experts has the clearest path?
Andre Snellings.
Andre Snellings. If the Thunder win, it feels like it'll be in seven.
Andre
right?
Snellings.
And if the Pacers win, it feels like it'll be in six. So Andre Snellings, Freddie Coleman, head-to-head, man. Both brothers.
Andre is a brother, too?
I mean, his name is Andre. I mean, I guess there's Andre Agassi, but I think the overwhelming favorite would be him. He's a brother.
He is. ESPN fantasy writer.
Yeah.
A brother. They call him Professor Dr. Z.
Not that it, like, look, we talk about race loud on this show.
AI clearly can't replace this guy.
Race
ESPN
is,
senior writer fantasy hoops.
We just like to uplift, right? When the brothers both get it right, and it looks like they both have, you gotta elevate.
This is really impressive.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's wouldn't you say that's the heavyweight matchup right now? Freddie Coleman, Dr. Z.
Yeah, in terms of who knew the most,
they had
about
the script.
The folks we should have been listening to.
Jeremy Wu is like.
I said
special guest referee.
I said Coleman, fool. I said he was smoking.
We made fun of Freddie Coleman.
And I had OKC in six.
Yeah.
And so I like
I had OKC in five.
So most of y'all, most of y'all thought it was gonna be more of a close to a sweep, a gentleman sweep, whatever it was.
Right.
Y'all thought some of y'all thought six for Thunder was crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway,
then you see the game
Freddie,
start.
Freddie, I'm so sorry.
Well, I mean again,
you can tell I have nothing but respect for this is sent to the mothership. And he hears it.
I don't want to start the apology tour too soon though, because like the Thunder are sick enough to rattle off three in a row. They are. They could. It's not out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah, but Freddie doesn't look nearly as high as I thought he was when he made.
No,
it, as you know.
If it's Thunder in six though, he doesn't deserve an apology.
I thought he's trying to be a contrarian, trying to stand out when you make this pick to start the.
Yeah.
No.
May I remind
it's a smart
you?
Smart pick.
In 2022, the Celtics were up 2-1 on the Warriors. I think they lost three in a row after that because I'm almost positive it was a six-game series. So, you know, now that's Steph Curry, you know, and Klay Thompson. So, a little different.
You see this stat that Harbinger of Memphis sent us from Kevin O'Connor?
I did see that. That was very interesting. That was very
They are wearing them down, man.
What was the stat?
SGA was the closest defender on 23 shots by the Pacers in game three. Here's what that means. That's mm-hmm. the highest amount of any game for SGA this season. Mm-hmm. And Indiana got him involved in actions over and over and over. That's what they did to Brunson. We talked about it all series against the – they are doing it to SGA, and we just said in the fourth quarter of that game, he was bent over holding his shorts when he wasn't making the shots. Down the stretch.
Now, do you know if he was asked about it?
SGA?
Yeah.
No, but he was asked about what was going on in terms of why Indiana's been so sort of, you know, effective down the stretch. And, man, the way he didn't have his usual ready-to-go, well-thought-through answer. He thought about – dude, it looked like that, man, like he wanted to say, man, they are wearing me out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Doyle.
Well, that's the thing. Like, the NBA series, like, we do this, right? Like, we all thought after game two that Indiana had no prayer. We all came in here and said we like the Thunder in game three. Brad picked Thunder. I picked Thunder. You picked Thunder. And then you see it, and it looks the way it looks. And granted, yeah, there's some additional details. There's some details. Although,
yes.
You know, that's what I even said this. You can go back and look. I was like, I don't like how we all
at the end.
You said,
got to be careful. And,
yeah. We all like the Thunder here. It kind of scares me that this Pacers team is too feisty for that.
I do like what Indy did. Just watching the game, it was pleasing as a basketball fan how they massaged that game and just doubled down on SGA. They're like, everybody else gonna beat us. We're gonna throw three dudes at that guy.
Now look, this the way it goes is SGA is gonna respond. He's gonna have a great game four. That's what's gonna happen. I mean, that's the guy I'm betting on.
The thing is that they're wearing him down working him on the defensive end in a way that's now affecting his efficiency offensively.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're exactly right. And that's
dealing with something he hasn't dealt with for most of the post, which is fatigue.
Right.
Right.
And it's affecting here's the issue. He's got to be consistent. He's got to score 30 plus.
Yeah.
And now the fatigue's hitting him.
Yep.
I mean, because if you look at
a way that he hadn't had to deal with.
You can see it.
If you look at this box score, it's like, how did this team lose? They shot 47% from the field. They shot 46% from three. They made four more free throws. They out-rebounded them.
And the unforced errors you pointed out.
But the difference is that they had combined, the Pacers had a combined 24 stocks, steals and blocks. And that's like a... That's like a game changer in a game where, you know, in an NBA Finals game where possessions are so, you know, precious.
Precious.
To have 24 of those is big. So it's a big response. And now we wait. And now we, by the way, Harrington mentioned precious as an option for the Grizzos in his article. But I'm not getting my hopes up on that, to be honest. He's too small.
Yeah, we kind of mentioned him, didn't we?
Yeah, he's just too small. I mean, I love him, but I think he's more of a four than a five.
He rebounds better than Jaren does. He's smaller.
I guess you could, yeah, but I don't think so. I don't think it's, but maybe, whatever. His vet minimum is all it would probably be, and he's already spent time in Memphis. I could see it. You know, I hope it happens. I'd love that. I love the returns.
Thunder have made four fourth quarter threes and three fourth quarters. Wow. Just four.
That's amazing.
4 of 19. That's legs.
Yeah.
That's legs.
That's legs.
Legs are gone.
I have bet Oklahoma City money line for game four.
Yeah, no, you don't. You're tired. You don't want to hear anything else other than OKC domination.
I agree with that.
All I do is bet Oklahoma City every game.
And your pocketbook continues to get lighter.
It does. I am down $78 in the finals. I'm down $78.
You about to give him some more, huh?
Yes. I put this one on Robinhood, though. This was not a sportsbook bet. This was an event contract that I purchased that I've been talking to y'all about.
Yeah.
I'll let y'all know how it goes. Y'all know how it goes. Oh. 67 cents. No, 68 cents is what I got it for. So you buy however many contracts you want to buy at 68 cents. That's 68% probability or whatever. You know, however they do the math on that. So,
man, that's interesting.
I'm going with Freddie, man. Give me Pacers and six.
Freddie Coleman.
Call me flip-flopper.
Oh, no. Don't do that.
Pacers
don't,
and six.
Don't do that.
It makes it more fun.
This is no way to run a presidential campaign.
I laughed at you, Freddie. Now I'm joining you. Mm. Pacers and six.
See, this is bad karma. You have just hexed Freddie. You have hexed Freddie.
Have I?
Yeah, you did. Because I don't know if you really believe it. Maybe you do. think. But don't you think we're so much of victims of what we most recently saw though?
Yes.
Like that's the hard part for me is like.
But it's all three games, John. They've been better in the fourth quarter.
That's true.
All three games.
Well, game two doesn't really
count. You can throw it out, but they were still better. The poor shooting percentage for OKC still applies. The not having legs because again it all. You're playing a series here, not just a one-off.
Right.
And so if you've been bad all fourth quarters, if you've been outscored 27 points in all the fourth quarters, you're shooting 21% from three.
Yeah.
While they're shooting 52%, and they've shown all playoffs long, they're the more clutch team
down the
stretch. They win the clutch minutes. They've done it all playoffs.
You got to create separation against them, dude.
And so if you're telling me now this new thing that comes into the equation for OKC that they have fatigue.
Mm-hmm.
Because the team they're playing is running just as hard, in some instances harder than they've been.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, it's like trouble. Yeah.
But let me ask you this. Don't you think the Thunder know that, all right, we got SGA put in too many actions last game, so we got to adjust?
Yes.
But how do you
adjust that when they're attacking SGA?
SGA
is going to be on the floor. They're coming at him. So how do you adjust
you
that?
How do you pull him off?
You can play zone.
You can play zone.
And play zone whole game against the Indiana team that busts threes all night long.
That's not what you're going to give them. But you can mix it up.
You're going to have to mix it up.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying, like, you know, they'll do something.
But that's what's cold about Carlisle. It's what I thought wouldn't work, what you did to Brunson against SGA, because he's bigger, right? Built rangier. Dude, they got him worn down.
Yeah, you're right.
And it's affecting his offensive game.
Yeah. There's no question.
It did last night, especially in fourth quarters.
That was definitely one of the worst games SGA has played in the playoffs.
It's like Carlisle's got these guys topping and all of them. They're running. There's a purpose to all of it.
Yep.
They're wearing them down. It's like, okay, see, we thought they were built for this. Turns out, not these first three games, they're not.
Mm-hmm.
Not when Indiana's, you know, taking care of it and running at this pace, which is what they've done, take away the first half of the first game.
Right.
Where they were throwing it everywhere.
Right.
They cleaned it up.
No, you're right. They have. So I'll be interested. I mean, this is why NBA Finals are so great because, these are the highest level adjustments that any coach is going to make, right? And that was the adjustment for game three. Carlisle made the adjustment of we're going to get SGA in all the action. We're going to pick him up full court. We're going to wear him out. All right.
You have to.
It worked.
Cuz he said he's going to score 30 something every game.
Yes.
So let's try to hit him with something else, which is make him work.
It worked. So now, all right, what does Dagnall do? Cuz he's great. He's great in his own right. He's not on Carlisle's level, but he's great in his own right.
Cuz you've asked a very obvious question, why the hell isn't he playing Hartenstein more?
Yeah, I mean that's something.
It went back down last night and you gave them advantage. I mean, what are we doing? He should be playing 20-plus minutes. There should be no games where Hartenstein's playing less than 20 minutes. Not in this series.
Right.
I don't understand it.
I mean, I wonder what his plus-minus was.
He changed it before
night.
The series start. Hartenstein?
Yeah.
I don't have his plus-minus, but I got his minutes. They went back down to 18.
He was a -4 last night.
He was 22 minutes the game they won, and they rebounded and swung back in their favor.
Mm-hmm.
17 and the one they lost, 17 in game one and 18 in game three.
Yep.
And they've lost those games.
Yeah, I mean, listen, when the Thunder only get, 10 points from their bench?
What was this foul issue?
18
Foul's not the issue.
Yeah.
He's two fouls in those two games.
No, I like his size out there against the Pacers, I should say. I like
it. That's where I go with, is Dagnall as smart as we think he is, or is he just trying to be a genius here when it's unnecessary. Again, you made the change before even the series started, which didn't make much sense to start with.
That's right. That's fair.
It looked like he had adjusted back in game two.